For a text this morning, I'd like to read from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter, and we'll begin with verse 27 and reading to the end of the chapter, verse 38. It's the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and beginning with verse 27, and reading the words in Jesus' name. And Jesus went out with his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, but some say Elias, and the other and others, one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answered and said unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever shall come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning, that, Lord, that the words that you have written here, that, Father, that they are true and they are holy. And, Father, we pray that you would give them to us, that we would be able to read them and understand them. Because, Father, these words are true, because you indeed are true. Amen. Jesus is about to start his last days on this earth, I might call it. Being up in where he was, up in Caesarea Philippi, it was kind of way, way up on the northern end of the Israel nation. And he knew that the end was coming. He's done this several times, the woman at the well. He knew that from traveling from there, he was going to have to go back into Jerusalem. And again, the disciples flat out told him, no, don't go down there because they're going to kill you. But he knew what his mission was, I guess you might call it. He knew what he had to do. I thought of this from time to time. Would mankind, and I'm just speaking in general here, but would mankind be able to face up to something like that, knowing what the end result was going to be, knowing what the pain, the agony, and the suffering was going to be? But then add something on top of that. Add on top of that that you were going to have to take upon yourself the sins of the entire world, of all of the sins that had happened from Adam up to the point where he was nailed to that cross. He was going to be responsible for. That's a mission that I don't believe anybody of mankind could ever take on. And it was something that our Savior did for us. he goes on and he says, and they answered, after he asked them, who do men say that I am? And they answered him, they said, John the Baptist. And some say Elias, and others, one of the prophets. But then he asks a very pointed question. And he said to them, but whom do you say that I am? You see, because it comes down to a personal relationship. It doesn't matter what Joe around the corner believes. It doesn't matter about Henry and what he's doing. It doesn't matter what Harry or Susan or anybody else off in the distances believes. What do you believe? What do you believe? And who do you trust in? That's what matters. That's where all the difference is. And that's where salvation lies, because if we believe and trust in what Christ did for us, then we will be saved. And he said, but whom do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said to him, thou art the Christ. Now, the term Christ that is used can be translated to Messiah or the Son of God. But for me, if somebody comes up and tells me that I believe in Christ, it carries a lot more weight, because I know who Christ is. I know what he has done for me. In the Gospel of John, the sixth verse, or the sixth chapter, I should say, and in the 66th, verse number 66, it's hard for me to wrap my tongue around that. There's, 69. let's start with 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a lot of gods out there. I can't even remember the number. I mean, there's hundreds and hundreds of them that people want to worship. But there's only one living God. There's only one God that has our salvation in mind. John chapter 11. And this is where Mary and Martha, and where Jesus had the conversation with Martha. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you believe this? And she said to him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ the Son of God, which should come into the world. That's that message that we have today. Christ came into this world, but he came here for one purpose. And one purpose only, to save all those who would believe in him. And he goes on in verse 30, and he charges them that they should tell no man of him. He does that quite often. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he did the same thing. Don't tell anybody what went on up here. And it's my understanding that in doing that, everywhere he went, crowds were around him at all times. And so this was one reason. He needed the time to be able to teach and instruct his disciples. But let me ask you a question. Who was it that told you about Jesus? Or who was it that came to you and called you There's that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that lives in each and every believer. Mankind can tell you about Jesus. Mankind can tell you about all the glorious and wonderful things that he did. Mankind can come up and explain it all. But when the Holy Spirit enters into the heart, one begins to realize that he did it for me. He didn't do it for anybody else. He did it for me because I was the one that nailed him on that cross. It was my sin that put him there. And we realize our helpless state. And then we thank and praise God for what he has done. And then he begins to teach them that the Son of Man shall suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and the scribes and be killed after 3 days and rise again. Rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. I can't blame Peter. I don't think any one of us here could. The person that you were following along that had been teaching you and telling you about God's kingdom and what was going and now starts telling you what's going to happen, and now you're telling him that, and I'm going to die. And Peter, being the type of person that he is, or was, many times that he spoke before he really had a chance to think, which I can relate to, but we'll let that go. The point is that he didn't do it because he wanted to be something special, or he didn't do it because he was someone special. At that time, he did it because he loved his Savior. He loved Christ. He loved him in such a way that he never wanted to see anything happen to him. The love and compassion that he had toward him, I dare say that he would have laid his life down for Jesus if it were possible. So I can't say anything against him for doing that. Yes, I have this book. I have read the story. I know what happens. I've read the end of it. Peter didn't have that. Peter did not have that. All he had was what Jesus had taught him up until that moment. Now on that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit entered in, they knew then what Jesus had been talking about. They understood what Jesus had been saying, and they glorified God because of it. But then he turned around and he looked at his disciples, and he rebuked Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. Was he calling Peter the devil? No. No. But he knew that it was Satan that was trying to get into Peter. He knew that it was Satan Peter was trying to keep Jesus from going unto that death. Because you see, when Jesus went there, he defeated Satan. And Satan knew it. He knew what was coming up. And he didn't want it to happen. And he was going to do everything he possibly could to keep it from happening. And he's doing the same thing today. Hasn't changed. Oh, the methods and the means might be a little different, but his ultimate goal is to take as many as he can from Christ. Take as many as he can to keep from believing. So he goes on, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In Luke chapter 9, verse 57 to 62. And it says that, and it came to pass as they went into the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home, at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Was Jesus telling those people, no, you can't go back and do those kind of things? No. No, that wasn't the message at all. Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus isn't speaking of a temptation that you are having a problem with. Jesus is speaking of your very life. That life-changing moment when you came from the world of sin to the world of salvation. And your life changed from what it was to what it now is. And the temptations and all of the things that you're going to have to go through are your cross. That cross that you have to bear. Putting all of the stuff aside that you used to do, all of the things how you used to behave, all of those things are put aside. But now comes the hard part. Now comes the part where your used to be friends are now beginning to ridicule you. Now comes the part where those who don't know Christ and really don't know you make fun of you because of what you believe. Now comes the time where you may have to face death because of your faith. When someone would come up to you and say, to deny your Savior, where we are going to kill you. And that does happen today in other parts of the world. And thank and praise God it has not necessarily happened here. But that's the cross that we have to bear. The life that we now have to live, we have to put up with the foolishness of man and the things that man, and the ways that man would try to lead us away, if you were. It's not necessarily the temptations, or not the temptations, but it's not necessarily a issue that you have in life that is constantly tempting you and trying to lead you away, although that is part of it. But it's the very Christian life that you have to live, that you are living, that you want to live. That's the cross that you have to bear. But that cross has got such a glorious ending. It's got an ending that no one will ever expect who doesn't know Christ. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? That's a terrifying question. That's a question that if we were to ask ourselves at any given time in our life, whether it's before or after, or wherever it is, the question that you ask yourself, is what I'm doing worth the reward? Or is what I'm doing a hindrance to my Savior? There's nothing that we could do to put in place of our salvation. Doesn't matter how many bells and whistles and spangly little things and things that are twirling around up there and just look so attractive. It's just a waste. But we look to heaven and we thank and praise God for what he has done for us. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing we can give. I had a fella tell me one time that the only thing that we can give to God is our sin. Well, I'm sorry. I did give him my sin, and he took it and he forgave it. But I can continue living in him and giving him the praise and the glory that he so richly deserves. I don't need to dwell in my sin. I don't need to dwell in what I used to be. I need to glorify God for what he has made me. I need to glorify him for his love for me. But I no longer have to even think about those things that I used to do. And whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. I don't want to be ashamed to profess my Savior. I don't want to be ashamed to confess his name. I want to glorify him because of what he's done for me. And he's done more for me than I could ever even count. He's done more than I could ever even imagine. And he's done stuff for me probably that I'll never know. Because he's always living. He's always moving one step ahead of me and protecting me and keeping me from sin. And I thank and praise him for that and glorify his name. Amen. Father, we thank you for your words. We thank you, God, that you have loved us so much, and we're coming into that time. We're coming into that time that glorifies your Savior, your salvation, your Son. So, Father, we pray that we would be thinking of him, and we would be thinking of that message that you have given to us, and that we would not be ashamed to confess your name, and that anybody that we run into, anybody that we are with, anybody that we associate with, would know who we are and what it is that we believe. We don't know what kind of an effect that will have on anybody, but we do know that, Father, that you can and will save all of those who will confess your name. So, Father, we thank you for that blessing. Now we ask that you would bless us and keep us, that you would make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us, that you would lift up your countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.